from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You're listening to 670 The Score, and The Score's afternoon show has taken an interesting turn. I am Matt Spiegel, your host. Dan Bernstein agreed to work a double today, so he's sticking around after Bernstein.
It's an interesting turn. It's just Rosner.
And Holmes. And then we told Bernsey that somebody was coming mid-show and had the opportunity to dismiss him with authority.
Well, we actually asked him to leave.
Because Barry Rosner was thrilled. That was part of the selling point in getting Barry to come in via text the other
was
night.
That I would be leaving?
Was that, no, that
was
he
no,
would...
I got to say, Dan, go home. Nobody wants you here. Nobody
no
likes...
one wants me there either. No one cares where I am.
So, but Barry was very excited to come and do that part. More excited than he was to come talk to me.
Oh, boy, you.
I'm pretty sure. He really just wanted to come and dismiss you. But instead, he's here. And so we have to make him talk. Bernsey, did you watch the Greg Maddux documentary on MLB
Network? Not yet. I've seen on Twitter, I've seen some of the highlights. Some of these are older stories that a lot of us have heard before.
Sure. Yeah. But there's new stories in there. There's new stuff that people did not know, at least. And there's plenty that I didn't know. And I want to ask Barry about a couple different things. But here's the thing. Barry Rosner, who was a beat writer... During those early years...
And his friends with Maddux.
I was getting there.
Okay.
I'm the host.
I guess I'm not. Okay.
You're the co-host.
I forgot
how much everybody here hated one another. It's actually interesting to see it close up
Bernsey,
again.
You're sitting in the yaya chair.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I like the the facade of, you know, we're all teammates and all that stuff, and everyone hates the other
that's
guy.
Not entirely
not really.
True. Not there's at least two people I don't hate yet. I'll let you think about who they are. But so Barry covered Greg Maddux and became very friendly with him and has kept a friendship with Greg all these years. In fact, I texted you the other day about the Maddux documentary. That's how all this began with Barry coming. And I said, would you come on the show at one point and talk about it? And you're like, oh, God, I don't know. And then you said, guess who remember that exchange?
Well, I said, you're the 489th person to say, hey, there's going to be a Maddux doc on MLB Sunday night.
And
I said, try to guess who the first person was to tell me that.
Right, and my guesses were as follows. I guessed Jim Riggleman.
I laughed at.
Was one of my guesses. Tom Brenneman.
Also laughed at that.
And Greg Maddux, I guessed.
Which was, of course, the correct answer.
Yeah, and Mitch Rosen was
also on there.
So you took a picture of those four names and sent it back to me, excited about having those four names all side by side.
Yeah, I thought those were great together. I believe my response on Mitch was, I'm pretty sure Mitch hates my guts.
He doesn't. So. He doesn't. No, he texted doesn't. Earlier.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. He wants to know if you want to host Hit and Run on Sunday. What's interesting about that is that I'm hosting Hit and Run on Sunday, but it sounds like he'd replace me with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would benefit both him and you, wouldn't it?
It really would, actually.
Yeah. What would that do for me?
You would get to talk to your beloved listeners. So there's the Greg Maddux story.
I do miss the listeners.
Good. And they miss
really?
You. They do.
Some
yes.
of them. Some of them, yeah.
Bernsey.
But not like the weird ones at the remotes? Remember? Like,
no.
Yeah, okay.
No, no.
All right, because you remember.
No, I can think of a few
yes. okay.
that I would not want to see again.
Mm.
I didn't think, Matt, sorry, did you want to ask me something? Because you're taking a long time to get there, honestly.
You're not wrong. He's not wrong.
This is like...
I have Greg Maddux related questions.
I miss the days of the hosts who asked the 3 minute long questions combined with several premises and then finally, right? With a comma, right? With a question mark at the end?
Right. Yeah. Yep. Matt Eberflus in over here, right? Yep, right, right, right. We're gonna do that, right?
But please go ahead. I was just going to say that I didn't find there to be very much new in there, at least for me.
Sure.
I did love the Bonds stuff, the stuff where he and Bonds went back and forth looking on their iPads, talking about specific pitches in a specific at bat. That's gold. Hmm. I mean, you're talking about two generational players there. You know, if one hadn't done steroids, he would have been among, certainly considered one of the top 10 players of all time. Maddux, a top 10 pitcher all time. It's gold. I love listening to that. That's stuff we used to do in the locker room. Used to stand there while a Maddux and a Sutcliffe and a Dawson and a Sandberg and an Osemacher and a Bielecki would or, you know, a Dave Smith, I believe dead or alive, Dave Smith.
Dave Smith, I think dead.
And listen to them break down in a bat. George Bell and Sandberg once talking about one specific pitch at Shea Stadium for 15 minutes where Sandberg kept his hands back on a changeup and took Ron Darling deep. And I mean, real deep. That's what used to be. That was the joy. There wasn't a lot of joy in that job, but that kind of stuff was special. I thought that stuff, if you haven't seen it, it's mostly at the end, Bonds and Maddux.
Yeah.
Talking about this one particular at bat. It's great stuff. I was not included. When Maddux told me about it, he said, you know, they asked for some names of people. And I believe that I'm not allowed on MLB Network going back to the Bud Selig days, I'm pretty sure, because I remember being booked and then canceled. Like in a span of a few minutes.
That's amazing.
But I thought it was good. It did bring back a lot of memories.
Well, the one aspect I did want to ask you about in regards to it. Well, there's a number of things, but when Maddux,
take your time. I got nothing but time.
Thanks,
Matt.
Buddy. Maddux leaves in free agency to Atlanta after a dalliance with the Yankees as well. But the way that story is told there,
very poorly. Is the way that story was told.
Okay,
there.
Because I have a lot of residual Scott Boras anger, and this made it seem like Larry Himes and the Cubs completely butchered it and insulted him, and it made me angrier, wondering if there should be more, even more retroactive anger towards the Cubs than there has been.
This is 100% on the Cubs, on Tribune Company, on Larry Himes and Stanton Cook, and it's a fairly long story, but I'll give it to you in 30 seconds. The December before that, the Cubs offered Maddux 5-25 in December of 91. By the spring of 92, they weren't even talking to Boras and Maddux. At the All-Star break, Maddux makes the All-Star team. At the All-Star break in San Diego, they sit down and they say, "What's the new offer?"
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And Larry Himes says, well, you've never won 20 games or a Cy Young. Why should we pay you more? I mean, forget about what he had already done, which was spectacular for a guy his age. He was 25 at that All-Star game, okay? 25 years old, pitching 250 innings a year and winning 15 games or 18 or 19, whatever.
And then at the end of this season in question, he wins 20 games at a Cy Young.
He wins 20, he wins the Cy Young, and dominates the Cy Young voting, and then goes to free agency, and they basically never spoke to him.
Because he said in the doc that they gave him the exact same offer.
He was still trying to come back. He still wanted to come back. The day I got married, that Saturday morning, I got calls. I got a call from Maddox and from Scott Boras, and I said, "You guys are killing me. I'm getting married today." And he's like, "Well, they want us to come in for a press conference to announce that you're not coming back." And I was like, "Why would you come in for that? That you don't hold a press conference for that."
Oh my God!
They don't.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, they were dumb people, Dan. These were stupid people.
They wanted Boras and Maddox to come in for a press conference announcing that he was leaving,
that he wasn't coming back. But what they did was they spun it so well. If you go back and read the Tribune or the Sun Times or probably a columnist from the Daily Herald, Maddox was getting killed in this town. I can remember Mike North, and I like Mike, so this is
when they signed Jose Guzman.
Sorry for criticizing Mike on this, but I can remember early in that '93 season, North on the air saying Maddox got shelled again last night. I love it. That was the attitude in this town. I was the only one that defended him, and Greg Maddox never forgot that.
Huh.
He hadn't done anything wrong. He did everything they asked him to do, and then they never upped their offer. They signed Guzman. They signed Candy Maldonado. They signed Willie Wilson. They signed Dan Plesac, and they were so proud that they spent that money. They let Dawson go. They let Maddox go, and they were so proud that they had used that money on all these different players, all of whom sucked, by the way.
There was a separate contract for Willie Wilson's massive wang, too. that could not be handled under the current contractual structure.
For anybody who doesn't...
I'm sorry I brought that up before.
And any of the listeners who might not realize, Maddox wins the Cy Young that year with the Cubs, then goes to Atlanta, wins three more in a row.
Yeah.
So four Cy Youngs in a row, one of the most dominant stretches of all time, and the Cubs lowballed him and butchered the free agency and pawned it off like it was Maddox and Scott Boras' fault.
Yeah, I mean, he got considerably better. He had a really good year in 93, and then in 94 and 95, that's when he started doing the Koufax kind of stuff. Those were the... like 1.5, 1.63 ERAs kind of things in relatively shortened season.
But not only did the Cubs butcher it, they successfully turned the fan base against him.
He was booed on opening day here at Wrigley Field when he pitched against Mike Morgan on opening day. And it was really one of my first experiences with the way the media can be manipulated, and the way that a media just decides that's a narrative and we're all going to jump on board with that. Mm. You see that an awful lot today in the way that so-called journalism is practiced these
mostly
days.
On national TV shows, on FS1, in my opinion.
I
always thought it was horrific the way that they made the town turn on him. When all he wanted to do was come back.
Hmm.
So he signs with Atlanta for $500,000 more a year, 27 for 5 years. Yankees had offered 37. He didn't take it. Kathy was much more interested in a better place to live in terms of, you know, family at that point. They had young kids. So I thought it was really bad, and I thought it was kind of gross the way that the media all jumped on board.
And the Scott Boras disgust and the Scott Boras bad relationship with the Cubs that lasted in this town for decades and decades has some seeds right there in that event.
If you say so, I don't really, I mean, maybe, but this really didn't have anything to do with Boras. Now, maybe it was portrayed that way. I don't remember
that. It very much was.
I had very, very long conversations with Matt. I think, Matt, I might have told the story on Hit and Run. I don't know. But there was a game in Cincinnati in, I want to say, late July. It was right before we went to Houston in 92. You can look it up on Baseball Reference. And I was still trying to get all the particulars from both Boras and Maddox on all this because it was complicated.
Hmm.
And I kept going back to both of them. This one night in Cincinnati, Maddox is starting that night. And I go, "Dog, I'm sorry, but I have more questions." We sit down in the back of the locker room. It's like 2 hours before the game. We sit down on the floor, and an hour and 40 minutes later, the pitching coach walks up and says, "Greg, are you going to pitch tonight?" He goes, "What time is it?" He goes, "It's 6:40. You want to warm up?" Maddox stands up, looks at me, and goes, "Good thing I know what I'm doing." He goes out and throws like a three-hit shutout in Cincinnati.
I'm looking at it right now.
Six-hit shutout. You know, it's 1,000 degrees. You know it's a launching pad. Yeah. You know how it...
July 22nd, 1992, 34,000 in attendance at Riverfront. He throws a six-hit shutout, strikes out four, walks two.
So on the off day, I go to Houston, and I'm trying to write this story for Friday, and I'm still talking to Maddox and Boris constantly. I don't remember, Matt, how this had anything to do with Scott Boras. I mean, this is one of those cases where the player wanted to come back, and the team didn't want him. They truly didn't want him at that point. Larry Himes thought he was smarter than everybody else. He didn't want him back. He thought they could use that money. Look at all the players they got for that money.
And you remember the soundbite in the very early days of the score? Greg Maddux, Jose Guzman.
Yeah.
Jose kept getting compared, and he didn't like it.
Jose Guzman, nice guy, by the way. And if he hadn't gotten hurt, I mean, I heard in Texas he was a fabulous pitcher. I mean, really good. Steve Buschel told me that the guy had just electric, magical stuff. But he got hurt. I mean, he wasn't very good, and then he got hurt, and then he just collected a lot of money from the Cubs for doing nothing.
Great stuff from Barry Rosner.
So do you remember the Bagwell story that is told in the—
Yes. There are other ones like that.
We got to take a break. We can revisit that for a little bit. And then there's a Cubs comp to this Bears season that I want to get your guys' thoughts on. Dave Wanstead at the top of the hour with Spiegs and Bernstein and Rosner on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.